This sermon is brought to you from the pulpit of Parkway Baptist in Fort Oglethorpe, Georgia.
Join me. I want you to stand as we read God's Word. And I want to bring this message tonight out of the book of Luke chapter 2. And no, I'm not going to preach the Christmas message again, all right? Though it wouldn't hurt us all to hear it once again. But I want to bring a message tonight with this thought. Don't get over the gift. Don't get over the gift. If you would, look with me, Luke chapter 2. Let's begin reading. We'll take our text out of verse 39 down through verse 49. And the Bible says in verse 39, "And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city of Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not, or know ye not, that I must be about my father's business? Message tonight I want to bring you, don't get over the gift. Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight and we ask you, Lord, to bless the reading of your word. And Lord, I ask you now, God, would you anoint my lips, put your words in my mouth, that, Lord, I might speak them and them only, what thus saith the Lord. That, Lord, you might deal with the hearts of your people this evening. That, Lord, that we might be reminded that, Lord, as we have celebrated, Lord, this holiday season, the Christmas season of your birth, celebrating, Lord, God, your coming and robing yourself in the flesh of humanity, Lord, that you might become that holy, sacred Lamb of God to take away the sins of all the world. May we never get over that fact. May we never get over that gift. May we not get lost in all of the activity and festivities of this time in which we celebrate that truth, that fact, that reality, that you came and you lived and you died and you resurrected and you ascended, and one day you're going to come back and receive us unto yourself. And I pray, Heavenly Father, tonight, God, will you move mightily amongst your people from heart to heart and faith to faith, that, Lord, we would come to that understanding we cannot afford to get over the gift that you've given us. And all this we'll thank and praise you in advance of what you're going to do tonight. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. Here we see the story that often we don't spend a lot of time with. When we go to Luke chapter 2, we read the Christmas story and our plays and everything that we put on to tell the gospel story or the story of the birth of Christ. We typically stop there about verse 35, 36, and we don't move on beyond that. And so tonight I wanted us to move beyond that and to look at what happened, what took place here in Luke chapter 2, that would bring us to this thought about getting over the gift. Now, you may be like many others here tonight. How many of you are glad that Christmas is over and you're ready to move forward? And many of you are going to raise your hand and say, man, I'm ready. I'm ready to move on. Glad it's done with. Enjoyed it. But, hey, I'm ready for the new year. I'm ready to move on past it. And, I'm tired of the lines. I'm tired of dealing with the traffic. Hey, I'm tired of the outlaws and the in-laws that have passed through my home, or I've passed through theirs. Tired of the festive foods, ready to get back to some real food. all the things that we associate, and we could say, hey, we're tired, we've had our fill, and we're ready to move on past it. And that's fine, regardless of what you may think of the Christmas time, the Christmas holidays, all the, again, the festivities and activities that go with it, regardless of how much of it you count necessary or unnecessary. It is what it is, but here's the key that you and I, as believers, must come to, and that is we can't afford to get over the gift in which all this is about, the what brings about the why the world that does celebrate, even the lost folk who celebrate and include themselves in all of the activities and festivities of celebrating the birth of Christ, whether they understand it or not, whether they do it simply because it's become a part of our tradition and our culture, but yet the reason for the season, not one on big on all cliches, but listen, but the reason for the season is Christ and Christ alone. He's the reason. He's the gift. He's the purpose in which we do whatever it is that we do to celebrate that reality in our life, that Christ did come. He did die. He did resurrect. He did ascend to the Father on the right-hand throne of the Father. He is coming back. All His promises are true. And if we're going to do anything as we move past this part of the season of celebrating that truth, we can't get over the gift that it's focused and centered upon. And so what I want to look here is that very thing. I think about gifts, and I hope that you've got many wonderful gifts. We know that it's better to give than to receive, but let's not lie to ourselves and anyone else. But there is some enjoyment and excitement about receiving gifts. And every one of us, if we went around and you had an opportunity to share with us, maybe you didn't receive the gift that you wanted this year. Maybe there's a gift that you desire, that you'd love for somebody to give you, or you'd love to be able to maybe gift yourself, but you never have. That you think, man, if I could get that one gift, man, the anticipation of what I could do with it or how it would affect or change my life, the excitement, the joy that I felt like that if I could get that one gift that it would bring to my life. Maybe you have experienced that before. And I'm sure all of us, if we thought about throughout our life the gifts that we received, all of us could probably go back and think of one that really made some kind of difference. It made an impact when you got that gift. I think about of all the gifts that we could describe and talk about. I think about one that maybe you've experienced. I would think majority of folk may have experienced this. I don't know. I've experienced it once, but often we dream about the gift of a new car. Amen. Everybody, love to have a gift of a brand new vehicle. And it doesn't necessarily have to be Christmas to get that gift, But man, for somebody to gift you with a brand new vehicle, or for you to be able to gift yourself with a brand new vehicle, all of us, we could easily quickly say and rattle off what that vehicle would be, what it would look like, the man, the make, the model. And if I could go and get that one gift or have somebody give that to me, man, boy, the anticipation, the excitement that comes with that, the joy that I believe I would experience by getting that new gift of a vehicle. I've had that happen to me one time in my life. I just graduated out of high school. I was halfway through my freshman year in college, and I had a wonderful, loving, and gracious grandmother who, out of the goodness of her heart, I wasn't asking it for it. I wasn't soliciting her. I wasn't planning, little hints in grandma's ear that be nice to have a new vehicle. I wasn't doing any of that, I promise you. All right. But out of the goodness of her heart, I never forget, it was just come through Christmas. It was the first of the year, first week of January. And I remember sitting there in the living room, we were watching television together, and a commercial came on about a car dealership or something, and of course, the first of the year, you can get some pretty good deals. And we saw that, and she said, "Hey son, how about we go looking for you a new car tomorrow?" And I was shocked, and I tried to play with Grant. I said, "Mama, you don't have to do that. You don't have to do that at all." I said, "I don't need a new car." And she said, no, I want you to have a new car. And I said, I don't need a new car. And she kept insisting, I want to do this. Don't argue with your grandmother. And after a point, you know, I'm not going to argue with her because she was very stubborn. She was one that was going to have her way, whether I like it or not. And so she basically said, well, I'm going to go look for a new car. You want the one you want, or you want the one I want to get you? I'll buy you. You let me go looking. You may not get what you might want. And so so it didn't take much twisting for me to say, all right, we'll go tomorrow. And we went out, and she bought my first and only new car. I mean, brand new car. Man, that's a 1989 Z28. Woo! I'd like to have one of those again. Not necessarily 1989, but nonetheless. But she got me that new white Camaro Z28, T-tops, fully loaded. Oh, man, that was a beautiful car. Beautiful car. So anyhow, so I know, I've had that experience. I know what that was like to think, man, oh, if I could have a car like that. And then it became reality. And boy, I was excited. Man, I couldn't wait to get in that car. I couldn't wait to show that car. I couldn't wait to drive it around, show my friends, man, what I had been gifted with. Man, this new vehicle. Oh, the smell of a new vehicle. Amen. Anybody? Oh, there's nothing like the smell of a new vehicle. And I remember getting that new vehicle, and of course, like any of us, when we get that new item or whatever it is, and certainly when it comes to an automobile, you want to protect it. So all of a sudden, you know what? It doesn't matter how far you got to walk to the front door of Walmart. You will park that thing halfway across Catoosa County to keep it from getting hit. And so all of a sudden, man, I'm parking it away. I don't want nobody getting near it. Man, I'm keeping that thing clean all the time. Man, I'm out there in my driveway, a little speck of dirt. Man, for months, I was out there. I'd keep that thing clean, waxed. I mean, spotless. I wouldn't eat in it. You know, I wouldn't leave anything in it. It had to stay. I wanted to keep that new smell and that new look as long as possible. As long as possible. But that was short-lived. And you know, we all found out that, you know what? When we put a lot of stock in gifts and a lot of anticipation and expectation in a gift, a special gift, whatever it is that our heart's desiring and longing for, that we feel like will bring us great excitement and joy and satisfaction. You know what I found? I found that it's very short-lived. It's temporary. It's temporary. You know how long that car stayed clean? Maybe just a couple of months. And then it got to the point, you know what? I got tired of washing and waxing it. There was other things I'd rather do. And it got to the point where after a few months, I didn't mind it staying dirty for a little while. It didn't take but 2 weeks. Y'all listen to me. 2 weeks of parking halfway across the parking lot where nobody would dent it. Being careful over the bumps and the speed breakers. Didn't want to do anything to crack the skirt on that thing. And all it took was 2 weeks. And you know what got it? Not a shopping cart at Walmart. Not a pothole in our wonderful roads. But my mama, with her door in our driveway, opened up her door and let go of her door. And the door swung open just enough to where it caught the side of my car. And she was afraid to tell me for a week or so before I even realized that there was a small dent and a nick in the side of that. But I found out real quickly, you know what, after that point, it was short-lived. All the excitement, all the anticipation, all the joy of this gift, and it was so short-lived. But may I say, listen, folks, of all the gifts that could be given to us, with all the excitement, with all the things that we think how it could satisfy us if we could obtain it, may I say there's only one gift in this world that you could receive, that you and I could receive, that could be given unto us, that could bring us great joy, that could bring us great satisfaction, not just for a day, not just for a year, not just for a decade or a lifetime, but I'm talking about eternal joy, eternal peace, eternal satisfaction, and that gift is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the greatest gift that's ever been given. He's the greatest gift that could be received. And here we see in our text right here, as we look there, Jesus, the greatest gift ever given, the greatest gift that could be received. And here we know that the angels came unto Mary and to Joseph and spoke unto them all the marvelous things that was going to take place in their life, that they had been chosen by God to bring in the Christ child into this world. And they spoke of him, of who he was, of who he was to become, and what he was to accomplish. They knew all these things. And it even tells us that Mary, she pondered, she meditated on these things continuously of what had been told to her. And we talk about the gift, and the gift being the Lord Jesus Christ. And we don't have to look any further than several verses, Lord, that tells us the significance of this gift that is the Lord Jesus Christ. We think about John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. We can look at there and we can interject in that scripture without doing the scripture any injustice. And we can say, for God so loved the world that he gifted us with his only begotten Son. He was a gift. Jesus was the gift that was given, that was given out of love. It was a love gift from God. He so loved us that it prompted him to gift us with the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, he's a one-of-a-kind gift, amen? He's a one-of-a-kind gift. Christ, the only begotten Son of God. What a one-of-a-kind gift the Lord has given you and I. But not only that, we look to Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. He is an everlasting gift, amen? He never goes old. He's never going to bring or disappoint us or bring us to a place where we are unsatisfied with this gift. It's an everlasting gift. It has no boundaries of what joy and peace, love, mercy, and grace that it extends unto you and I. But then we go to Romans 5:15, and well, here we see the Bible tells us, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. The free gift is the Lord Jesus Christ, and it has abounded unto many, to all who would believe, given by God. He's a most gracious gift. Not only that, but we see, unlike the gifts of our life, we must never get over the life-giving gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He is the gift we need not get over. I've gotten over every gift that's ever been given to me. Do you know right now, whatever has been given to me, do you know it's just been a few days, and for some of the gifts I've received, I can't remember who gave it to me. I know out of a few handful of who may have given me that shirt, who may have given me, you know, that pair of pants or whatever it is. You know, I know it was one of these of two or three people of my family or my wife's family. But you know what? It doesn't take long and I forget even who gave me what. It doesn't take long to get over many gifts in our life. But may I say, church, we can't risk getting over the gift. The gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I want to look at our text here. Look at what happened to Mary and Joseph. I want you to look with me, and let's look back here and see what happened. Verse 41 says this, his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And what we see here is that, of course, in this story, they leave the Passover feast, and Jesus is left behind. And they don't even know that he's missing. They don't even know he's missing. What happened in the life of Mary and Joseph and the family that would cause them to get to this place 12 years later after they received this gracious, wonderful, one-of-a-kind gift? The Lord Jesus Christ, the Christ child, the coming Messiah, the Holy Lamb of God, God robed in the flesh of his creation, humanity. We sing about it. They knew about it. They had the truth of it all. And yet, in 12 years we come to this place, what brought that on? And I want us to make tonight, looking at this true story, this happening here within the life of Christ, within the life of Mary and Joseph and the family, knowing what they know, knowing who He is, what brought them to the point that they could lose Him or forget Him for any period of time, for any period of time. And I want you and I to make a spiritual application tonight. How is it that if we're not careful, that we could get over the awesomeness of the gift that's been given to us, eternal life in the Lord Jesus Christ? What was it that brought on this in their life? Because whatever it is that brought them to this place that I believe we can pull out here, out of the Word of God, I believe, guys, listen, if we're not careful, it could happen to you and I in our life when it concerns our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the first thing we see here is we see that familiarity breeds what? Contentment. Familiarity breeds contentment. I believe the first thing that we see here that brought this situation on or about was that familiarity has bred contentment in the life of Mary and Joseph. Contentment meaning complacency. It says here in the Word of God, now the parents went to Jerusalem every year. This was something they had done routinely every single year. And when we do something regularly and routinely, church, what typically happens? It becomes mundane, doesn't it? We just do it out of habit. We just do it almost robotically. Why? Because we've done it all our life. It's what we do. It's just what we do. And we don't even have to think about it. We just do it. And we don't even have to really consider why we're doing what we're doing. We just automatically do it. Why? Because it is routine. This going to the Jerusalem for the Passover feast was something they had done all their life. And certainly in the life of Jesus, we know here, He's 12 years old. They've been doing for 12 years carrying Christ, who is the type, what we see here, the shadow and type of the Passover lamb. He is it in reality. He is the Passover lamb. He is the holy lamb of God that has come to take away the sins of the world. Everything the Passover feast was pointing them toward, He was there. He was it. Could you imagine that? The thought that they're going to celebrate the Passover feast that was done for the purpose of God shadowing and typing out to us and pointing us toward the real Lamb of God that would come one day. And they had Him with them. They were walking with Him. Could you imagine that thought? We got the Passover lamb. He's right here with us. His time's not yet. But He is going to accomplish. He is going to accomplish what He came for. To be our Passover lamb. And so could you imagine the thought that they went there to celebrate that. That what was being celebrated here, He was in flesh. But yet we see, for some reason, complacency has set in. They've been doing this routinely. They've been doing this year after year, and it just became something they did that, and again, I'm not trying to read in here. We can only make supposition here of what they may have thought. I'm not saying that they took it lightly. I'm just saying based on what happened here, there's some warning that you and I could have that we can make spiritual application of. I'm not saying that they made any light of it. I'm not saying they weren't thinking about Christ and, you know, Jesus and who He was and so forth and so on. No, I don't believe at all they ever got over that fact that they had the Christ child, that God used Mary and sent forth Christ through the womb of that virgin. I don't believe there's anything. I mean, their life has never been the same. It's been changed. I don't think they truly got over it. But listen, but they got so familiar with it that it became routine maybe. That brought upon this situation we find ourselves here in Luke chapter 2. So familiarity breeds contentment. And don't you find that be true even in our own Christian lives? How often do we come to church Sunday morning, to come back Sunday night, to come back Wednesday night, And we just do that week after week after week after week to the point that we're supposed to be coming to glorify and worship the Lord Jesus Christ, that we're supposed to come to be built up and edified as the body of Christ, that we're supposed to be coming to fellowship and encourage one another in the faith. All these things, the reasons and the purposes in which we come here, how often do we lose sight of them out of the mundaneness of just routinely coming every week, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. We come in, we sit down, we sing four songs, we take up offering, we hear a message, we go home. And we just continuously over and over do the same old thing. Do you know what happens? We lose sight and focus of the very purpose in which we're coming to this church. Guys, it's not that we need to fill up this building. It's not that we don't have anything else to do to occupy our time. There's got to be a reason and a purpose in which we come here. And if we don't get to that reason and purpose, then what we do is all in vain. We're wasting our time. You're wasting your time. I mean, there's nothing that's going to come to fruition out of you and I just doing something out of obligation. And that's what happens when familiarity breeds complacency in my life and your life, and we become to the point where we are content to just get by, just do the surface things to appear like we're focusing on the real and main purpose in which we should be coming together as the body of Christ. But you know what? We can fake it, can't we? We can just come, and you know what? And all of a sudden what happens is that instead of opportunity to be a blessing, instead of opportunity to be encouraged, instead of an opportunity to serve one another, instead of an opportunity, man, to praise and glorify our Lord and Savior, instead of taking opportunity to do all the things that God has afforded us by coming together as the body of Christ, instead of what happens is mundane sets in and opportunity becomes obligation. You know why church folk get burnt out so quickly? Because opportunity becomes obligation. I'm no longer coming because I see an opportunity for God to work in me and through me. But now I come because I'm obligated to do so. I feel obligated. It's just what I do. It's just what's expected of me. And when that sets in and your opportunity and my opportunity becomes obligation, then what you have is becomes a duty instead of a desire. I'm only coming not because I desire, not because I'm looking forward to it, not because it excites me, I can't wait to get there, but it comes to the point where, you know what, it's just my duty. It's just my Christian duty. You know, I don't want to let nobody, I don't want to let God down, I don't want to let my pastor down, I don't want to let my Sunday school teacher down, I don't want to let my family down, I don't want to let my friends down. You know, I'm going to come, but it's simply out of duty, no longer out of desire. Now, I hope that's not your life right now. I hope that's not where you find yourself in your Christian life right now. I pray that you have a very deep desire and a hunger and a thirst to come together as the body of Christ for the very purpose in which He calls us together as the church. And that's to glorify Him and to make His name known. I hope it's not duty. And if you found yourself in that point of your life, your Christian life, where serving God and serving others is become a duty, then you know what? This might be just for you tonight. Might just be for you tonight. It doesn't have to stay that way. It doesn't have to remain that way. But familiarity breeds contentment. But the second thing I want you to see, and I'll hurry, familiarity breeds a callousness. A callousness. We see here in verse 43, look what it says. It says, "And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it." How could they not know that Jesus, their 12-year-old son, was not in their company or in their presence? What happens when familiarity brings callousness? We become insensitive to His presence. We could become insensitive to His presence. You ever felt like you came to church and God was nowhere around? You ain't got to raise your hand. All right, but I'm sure every one of us at some point in our Christian life has felt that way. Man, I come to church. Man, I try to read my Bible. Man, I'm in prayer. And it just seems like the presence of God avoids me. When, you know what, I remember when I used to come to church, I could feel His presence so real. Well, I remember there was a time where I opened up the Word of God with excitement and anticipation to get something out of it, and I could just feel His presence there with me. Boy, there was a time when I could get on my knees and call out to God, and oh man, His presence just consumed me. And you wonder why. You wonder why. Why is it like it used to be? Why do I not still feel His presence? I feel like He's nowhere near or nowhere around. May I say this, church, it's not because God moved. It's because you moved. There's something changed with you. And all you got to do is go back and figure out where was it that you left Him. Here we see that they're insensitive to His presence. That's what callousness will do. Not only that, but we see in verse 44, look what it says there, but they, supposing Him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought Him among their kinfolk and their acquaintance. The second thing callousness will do in my life and your life is that it will cause us to be careless with His person, careless with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, of who He is. Listen, when you're talking about not never getting over the gift, guys, listen, worship is you and I never getting over the awesomeness of our God. Never getting over the thought of what He did on our behalf, that He went to the nth degree to show His love for you and I. Callousness will cause us to be careless with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were careless. I'm sure there was a time, you know what, where Jesus didn't get out of their sight. As they made that journey, those 12 years, I'm sure there was a time where as they were making that journey, there was a time when He was smaller, they were holding Him hand in hand. Wherever they went, He was with them. And as He got older and got older, He didn't want to hold Mom and Daddy's hand any longer. But they kept Him there, right by their side, or maybe they kept Him in front of them, as we often do, as we go to the malls or we go to a place where there's a large crowd gathered. Even no matter how old they may get, but certainly in their teenage years down, we don't want to let them out of our sight. But yet here, 12 years later, and for whatever reason, it got to the point where, you know what? They no longer were keeping their eyes on Jesus. They were no longer holding His hand. They were no longer having Him stay in front of them so they could see Him and know that He was still with them. And for whatever reason, they became callous and careless with His person. But then the last thing I want you to see here, that familiarity will breed callousness in my life and your life, is this. They were forgetful of His purpose. Look with me in verse 47. He says there, and all that heard Him were astonished at His understanding and answers. And when they saw Him, they were amazed. And His mother said unto Him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And He said unto them, how is it that you sought me? Did you not know, wist you not, that I must be about my Father's business? Why were they astonished at what He was doing? Did they forget who He was? Did they forget who He was becoming? Did they forget? Obviously, they must have. They forgot His purpose. Callousness, guys, will cause that in my life and your life. Forgetful of His purpose. Forgetful of our purpose in our own Christian life. We'll forget who we are in Christ Jesus. That's what 1 Peter tells us. We'll forget, or 2 Peter tells us, we will forget our very purpose of who we are in Christ Jesus when we allow ourselves to grow callous and insensitive to the moving and the working and the fellowship of the Lord Jesus Christ in our life. That's what happened here, I believe. Even among their parents, he says, don't you know? Don't you remember? Why are you asking me these questions, Mama? Don't you know I got to be about my Father's business? Have you forgot? And it seemed as though for a brief moment they had forgotten. But not only do we see familiarity breeding contentment and familiarity breeding callousness in our life, but listen, folks, listen, familiarity will breed a lack of communion. 44 through 46, look there with me in our text. But they, supposing Him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought Him among their kinfolk and acquaintance. And when they found Him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking Him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found Him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And so what I want you to see here is, listen, familiarity will breed a lack of communion. We can get so at ease, let down our guard in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, that, you know what, we can get, find ourselves going days not praying, going days without being in the Word of God, going days not seeking opportunity, not desiring an opportunity to be used of God, to be a witness and a light to a lost and dying world. And we could go through the litany of things that when we are not in right fellowship and relationship with God, that'll happen in a Christian's life. That we will lose fellowship, we will lose communion with our Lord and Savior, the greatest gift that has ever been given, the greatest gift that you and I, if we're saved tonight, has ever received. And yet, we can live a life out of fellowship, far away from where we ought to be in this relationship. And you know, what I want you to pull out here, and I'm going to be finished, is this. Do you realize, you read what it said there, it took them only a day to lose fellowship with Jesus. It only took them one day. It said they had journeyed for a day before they ever realized He was not with them. He was not in their presence. Now listen to me, folks. In relationship, and we know this, being drawn away from God, us leaving fellowship, right fellowship with God, it don't happen overnight, does it? It is a subtle thing, but let me say this, it may not happen overnight, but it don't take a year for it to happen, all right? It is a subtle process. It don't happen overnight like that. It is you beginning to routinely not do the things necessary to have a right relationship with Him, all right? Routinely doing it, but listen, it don't take no year for that, for you to be totally out of the will of God and totally out of fellowship with Him. I'll say it again, it won't happen overnight, but it won't take no year. Listen, they walked and they journeyed for one day, and they were out of fellowship. But I want you to look at the next thing we see here, a fact. It says, however, it took them 3 days to find Him. Only one day to lose Him, but it took them 3 days to find Him. May I say this to you this morning, or this evening, church? Listen, it's a whole lot easier to get out of the will of God, and it's a whole lot longer journey to get back in right fellowship with Him. It's that old saying, you know, sin will take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, all right? Same principle. It's easy to get out and a lot harder to get back, all right? And none of us ever intend for that to happen, but it's just reality. It's a fact. It only took them one day to lose Him, but it took them 3 days in order to find Him and bring Him back into their presence. And you know what? That same principle can be held true in my life and your life, spiritually speaking. And concerning our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, it may not take long for us to get out of the will of God. But once we realize that we're out of the will of God, it may take us longer, much longer, to get back in right fellowship and in His good graces. Does that make sense? I believe that's what we're seeing played out here. And this is what I want you to, we'll finish this with. And Brother Michael, you can come and prepare. If you and I never want to have to go searching for Jesus, church, listen, if we never want to have to go searching for Jesus, if we don't want these things to come into our life, the contentment, the callousness, the lack of communion with our God because of the familiarity where we have become so, we've allowed this relationship with our Lord and Savior, this greatest gift, to become mundane, to become routine, to become almost robotic. Listen, if we don't want that to happen in my life and your life, we will never have to go searching for Jesus. Then listen, we're going to have to choose never to get over the manger. Never get over the manger through which God's gift of a Savior came. You and I, we can never get over the marvel of His sinless life, of His victorious, or His vicarious death, of His victorious resurrection. We can't ever afford to get over of the miracle that has happened in my life and your life, and that is Christ in us, the hope of glory. We'll never need to get over the message that Jesus saves, Jesus saves, Jesus alone saves. And so tonight I want to challenge this church as we close, lest you and I not get over the greatest gift that's ever been given and the greatest gift that could ever be received. As Brother Kyle led us in the very beginning, I hope you know that your name's been written down. Amen. I hope that you know that you know that your name's been written down in heaven, that you know the free gift that's been given by God, the free gift of eternal life found only in Christ Jesus. Let's not let our Christian life find us being over the wonder of it all, Jesus Christ Himself. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for the greatest gift that You've ever given. And it came in the form of Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, my prayer is tonight that everyone under the sound of my voice has received that gift. And Lord, we ask You tonight, help us, Lord, to never get over the wonder of it all. To never get over, God, Your mercy, Your grace, Your love, the joy and the peace that comes with knowing You and being in a relationship with You. God, help us in our Christian life never to grow callous, Lord, to Your presence, to Your person, and Your purpose, Lord, in which You've saved us and called us. Never, Lord, let us lose communion and fellowship with You. But God, help us to hunger and thirst and desire it each and every day, relentlessly pursuing it. And Lord, I pray, God, help us never to become complacent in, God, our life of living for You and serving You, glorifying You and making Your name known. And we'll thank You and we'll praise You tonight for what You will accomplish in us and through us if we'll heed to Your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Parkway Baptist, please visit our website at www.parkwaybaptist.me. That's www.parkwaybaptist.me.